Well, good evening. As we are gathered around in our homes, perhaps you're gathered around with your family, perhaps you gather around, maybe you invited somebody to come and watch this with you. Whatever it is, I trust that the Lord will minister His grace to you and that you will really come to know with a greater and greater strength that the Lord is your refuge. What a blessing it is to be able to pray and to gather around here and just pause in the troubles of our life and enter into an oasis, a green oasis. If I could word it this way, a little garden of Eden in your soul. And lift your eyes up and look upon the Lord Himself. What an encouragement that is. Just a couple of announcements as you're turning in your Bibles to Psalm 46. And first of all, I want us to be praying for the virus, but not only the virus, the impact of the virus. I was reading today in the Wall Street Journal that in some states, upwards of 20% of their workforce is unemployed. So we're not talking about working from home, we're talking about unemployed. The worst state was Hawaii. 22% of their workforce is unemployed. I can't imagine the type of impact, not only on the homes there, but on the state there. The least impacted was South Dakota. They only had 5%. Now, 5% are really suffering, but as far as compared that to Hawaii, you might be thinking, yeah, but what about a bigger state like California? Well, they have 15% of their workforce unemployed, and in our state of Virginia, we're probably not at even at the median range, but upwards of 8%, around 8% of our workforce is unemployed. And as one preacher mentioned over this past Lord's Day, just be aware that people's differing circumstances give them differing perspectives on what is going on around us. If you are still working or if you're working at home, that's just a little minor inconvenience, right? But you still have a paycheck coming in, and as this pastor said, your mentality might be, well, you know, we really need to continue this self-quarantine. Whereas someone who's unemployed and they have no paycheck coming in and no hopes of paying their mortgages and paying their debts and providing food on the table and, you know, very little savings. Most Americans, we just live from paycheck to paycheck. And their perspective probably isn't going to be, well, let's continue the self-quarantine just for a little while. They're ready to get back to work. So let's be praying for the unemployed here in our nation. And then secondly, I also want to encourage all believers, and especially believers of our congregation, to pass out invitations to people in your neighborhood, people that you run into. I realize you might have to kind of leave it somewhere and let them come by and pick it up. But to pass out invitations to watch the messages that we're posting online, either at sermonaudio.com or on the YouTube channel. I mean, this is a great opportunity, and you can very, very quickly on your computer just get an 8.5 by 11, make up a little piece of paper with the links on it, and pass it out to people. And you don't know what the Lord will do over that, because we're saved by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you in that area to really avail yourselves of these opportunities. And in connection with that, and there'll be more details in our prayer request sheet that I'll be mailing out to our congregation, be in prayer, because we're in the middle of preparing hopefully a several time mail out into our community that's in the process of doing that. And so we want to begin praying for that and begin looking to the Lord for his favor on that, and to begin looking to the Lord for the accomplishment of that. So, and it's going to have the links in there on this sheet. You say, well, why are you doing an outreach or a mail out when people are quarantined? Well, this is a perfect time to do that, because they would be more apt, if nothing else out of boredom, to take a look. And you don't know what the Lord will do once the quarantine is over. And this would be true, even if you attend another service and you have those opportunities that are there. So be praying for those three things as we are continued in our exile with this self-quarantine, that the Lord would be honored in all that. The responsibility of the church does not fade away just because we're in self-quarantine. The responsibility of the church for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and to spread the aroma of that knowledge everywhere is still there upon us. Well, amen. I trust that you will be praying for that tonight and in the upcoming weeks. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 46. And I'm only going to read the first seven verses here. And I'm going to do just a little review, because the review sets up for the truths that we're going to be looking at here. And so, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved, and God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. But we've noted that this psalm does not have an event associated with it. So it kind of enables us to grab the truths of this psalm and incorporate them into any type of trouble and troubles that we might be accounting. Now, the truth that the Lord wants us to believe concerning him is given to us in verse 1. It's restated in the refrain that is given in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And also again in verse 11, where he repeats the same refrain. And the truth is this: God is our place of shelter. You need shelter from the storm. You need shelter from the rain. You need shelter from the troubles, right? God is our refuge and our strength. He is an assistant. He is a help in troubles. And he is ready to be found. And so, a very present help in troubles. And, you know, when you think about that truth, that really hits at the very heart, the very core of our problems. And that is this: we are suspicious and we are in doubt that God really is a ready help. We think in our own minds, we've got to take this matter into our own hands. But if, brethren, if we make ourselves a shelter, it's going to collapse. God is our place of shelter. We doubt that God is a ready help. We doubt that the Lord is a shelter, because we look around us and we hear the news and we hear the troubles and we hear the noise and we hear the shaking, whether it's real or whether it's imaginary in our souls, and we fear. and we doubt how ready the Lord is and how willing He is to help His people. And I just want to repeat that. Whatever your troubles are, whatever your fears are, whatever's rattling around in your soul, our Lord, your Lord, is ready. He's ready. And He is willing to actually be your help in the midst of all this. Now, part of our problem as believers is we've got to recognize the help that the Lord wants to give us. But still, that help is there. We can turn to Him. And that's exactly what the psalmist is doing. He turns to God, and what happens is his fears flee. Verse 2. Because of verse 1, therefore we will not fear. And we don't fear because our soul takes this shelter in God. We really do believe that He is that help, regardless of the intensity of the troubles. And brethren, troubles can really get intense. And we make statements like this, well, I don't know if I could take any more troubles. I don't know if I could take any more pressures. Well, with God as our help, He's our strength, right? In our own abilities, in our own ways, and going by our own imaginations, yes. But when God is our strength and God is our shelter, and we think about the intensity of that, verses 2 and 3. Think about the intensity of an earthquake. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. I've been in an earthquake, but very, very, very minor earthquake. But still, it was unsettling. Think about the intensity of an earthquake. Think about an earthquake that is so intense, look at verse 2, that it changes the geometry of the earth. Now that's intense, isn't it? Think about how you would be there in that situation. Think about the tremors that ripple across the earth. I've actually seen documentaries where the earth would bend as that earthquake happens and the earth snaps in two. Okay, that's intense. You think about the seas that are in turmoil, so much turmoil and so much shaking that even the islands and the mountains disappear. This is intense. And even in that intensity, now look at the words here in verses 2 and 3, words like slip, words like roar, words like quake, words like melted. I mean, can you hear the roar of this intensity? Can you feel this type of intensity? You say, well, I've never been in an earthquake like that. You may not have been in a literal earthquake, but you have felt these tremors. You have felt tremors when you've heard political rumblings that made you fearful, right? You felt this shaking in your soul. You have felt this type of tremor when you read the newspaper and you hear of nations shaking and rattling the sword against one another. Or you read in the paper that if such and such happens, we're talking about a World War III. Or you read in there that so-and-so is fixing to launch a nuclear weapon. This is the type of earthquake. And the reason why I'm saying that yes, it is literal, but it's also symbolic. Look down at verse 6. The nations made an uproar. Same word, roaring. The nations made an uproar and the kingdom staggered. They shook, they tottered. So he's talking about, he's using nature, God's created nature, literally, but he's also using it symbolically concerning the nations. You felt this type of shaking. You felt this type of shaking under the virus. I can't imagine people's fear. Some of them are, you know, out of this world, imaginary. They're fearful. And this shaking is nothing compared to the shaking that's coming. And so you see, the structures of men melt before the word of the Lord. You hear about locust desolations in the paper. Millions and millions and millions of locusts. You hear the rumblings of war or tornadoes and the desolation of weather. You hear about the widespread range of famines. You see the spread of the virus. You hear of people passing, and the noise of all this, the uproar of all this, can be deafening in your soul. It can be so loud, it can take over your mind, right? This is the type of things that is happening. And you feel in your soul, your world is collapsing. But brethren, all of this is happening because the Lord has raised his voice. Look at verse 6. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He, that is God, raised his what? He raised his voice. Brethren, you know when this is happening that the Lord's word is doing something. There are seen and unseen forces that are going on. It is the Lord. Now please hear this. It is the Lord that is sending this shaking. Well, is there a place for us? Is he really a refuge and a strength, a very present help in time of trouble? And the answer to that is yes. He is a place of shelter. And brethren, I want you to get this. Everything that we have said thus far is noise and troubles, right? But there is a place that will not be shook. And that place is our place of refuge. Now look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad what? The city of God. Everybody see that? This is a contrast to the shaking of nature and to the shaking of political nations and the rattling of the swords and the viruses and diseases and famines and tornadoes and hurricanes and all this turmoil that threatens to collapse our lives. There is a place that will not be shaken. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She will not be what? Moved. That's the word, shaken. She will not be shaken. Though everything around her may be shaking, she will not be shaken. The place of shelter that will not be shaken is a city. And it is the city of God. Now, when you read, most commentators take this city as Jerusalem. But brethren, we know from Scripture, do we not, that there are two Jerusalems. There is an earthly Jerusalem, right? You can travel there. I've traveled there. I've been there. I've gone up that little mountain. Okay, now it's a big mountain, but I've gone up that mountain. There is an earthly Jerusalem, and there is a heavenly Jerusalem. Now, the interesting thing here is that the earthly Jerusalem was to be a reflection of the heavenly. But Israel failed in that calling, did they not? And brethren, it has been the practice of Old Testament saints to look to this heavenly Jerusalem for their help. The psalm says, I will look to the hills from whence comes my what? Help. Now just pause here. Look at me. When a saint prayed, they did not pray like we do. We bow our heads, close our eyes. That's what our parents taught us to do, right? But when the Old Testament saint prayed, in most cases, you do a study about this, in most cases, what did they do? They lifted up their arms. Okay, now watch. When you lift up your arm, what else goes up? Your head. What else in your head goes up? Your eyes. Where are they looking to? I'm looking unto the hills from whence cometh my help. What are they looking to? Are they looking to the earthly Jerusalem? No, they're looking to the heavenly Jerusalem. And I believe that this is the heavenly Jerusalem. Look at the characteristics of this. And we're going to look at this city of God, not in any type of detail, but just look at it. Number one, verse four, there is a river which streams make glad what? The city of God. Brethren, the earthly Jerusalem has no streams in it. It has no river in it. In fact, Hezekiah had to make a man-made tunnel, right, in order to divert water into that city. Yet Ezekiel does say that there is coming a day when a river will flow from that city. But when this psalm was written, was there a river? No, there was no river. And if there was a tunnel, it was man-made. This is of God. Secondly, in this city are the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Note the plurality of the word place there. Thirdly, in the midst of this city, verse 5 is who? It's God. And brethren, because of these realities, because God is in the midst of her, and because in that city are holy dwelling places of the Most High, and because this is a heavenly city and not an earthly city, this heavenly city will not be moved. And brethren, the security, please hear this. You may struggle with this, but this is true. The security of that heavenly Jerusalem gives believers a security that we will not be shaken. In other words, the security of that heavenly Jerusalem removes any fears that we will be ultimately or finally condemned by the troubles that are being caused by wicked people. In other words, heavenly realities give to a believer security. And you know that's true because the Word of God gives you a security, right? And folks, God is going to help her, meaning this heavenly Jerusalem where God is, but God has also chosen the earthly Jerusalem as the future place of his throne and reign, right? I mean, folks, Christ is going to come back and he's going to set up an earthly kingdom in what city? In Jerusalem. God is going to help the earthly Jerusalem because he himself has chosen that earthly Jerusalem place to be his future throne and reign. And it doesn't matter how the nations roar against the place of God's future presence, the Lord will cut them off. And although the kingdoms of men take counsel against the Lord and they take counsel against the Lord's people, They're the ones that are going to shake when the Lord sends judgments, not his people. His people, did you see verse 2? His people will not what? They will not fear. Why? Because the heavenly Jerusalem is secure, and the earthly Jerusalem, which is to be a reflection of the heavenly Jerusalem, is secure because God has chosen that city to be his throne and reign. And what God does, brethren, is he raises his voice. Look at verse 6. He raised his voice, and what happens to the earth? It melts. Now that can refer to troubles, and it can refer to actually the earth melting, but it's more along this line. When the Lord raises his voice, the nations increase their noise and their threats. And then when God sends, ultimately, he sends that shaking, right? He becomes their help and security. When? Well, it tells you. Look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her. Everybody see that? God will help her when? When the morning dawns. Now, we're not going to take the time to do this. You might want to do this. Go in your Bible and look at the times where God did extraordinary help, and you will find out it was in the morning. When Sennacherib, God destroyed all those men during the night, and when Israel came in the morning, they found they had left. In the Exodus, God sent a great wind, and he opened that sea, and then he what? He sent them over, and what did the Egyptians do? They came after them, and the Bible says, in the morning, Israel saw their bodies washed upon the shore. Folks, morning, please hear this, morning always comes after the night. Right? Morning is what breaks up the darkness of the night. And men on this earth who set their counsel against the Lord, they try to do it in the night. They do it in secret. They work at it while you're sleeping. They pass the laws. They raise the noise. They attack. They bring threats. I mean, brethren, before we had infrared and all this type of thing, when do nations attack other nations? They do it when? In the night. But remember, no matter how dark the night, morning always comes. That's a great comfort. That means whatever troubles you have a limit. Amen. They have an ending. God will help her. It's not God may help her. He will help her. When? At the dawn of the morning. And folks, the reason for that, verse 7, is because the Lord of glory, the Lord of armies, is with us. The attacking the people of God, the threatening of the people of God, the condemning of the people of God. Now please hear this. All that is, the attacking, the threatening, the condemning, the troubles, the fears, all that comes, the roaring, the noise, the earthquakes, all of it is nothing more than a death sentence upon themselves. Right? Evil, wicked people come against the people of God. They might as well sign their death warrant. Because the Lord will help us. What a comfort that is. Because the Lord is our place of shelter. He's high upon Mount Zion. It is far beyond the reach of any enemy. Tell me, what enemy can reach the Most High? That's security. No danger can reach the Most High. All noise may enter into the city, but even noise can't reach that high. Divine help and security are our possession because we are citizens of that heavenly Jerusalem. Did you hear that? You are a citizen. As a believer, you are a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to close. We're going to read six passages. And I want these passages to really minister security to us. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, because this city of God has been known from days of old. This heavenly Jerusalem was known by the saints of old. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. Where did he dwell? He dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Well, Abraham, why did you dwell in a tent? Verse 10. Because he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is who? Brethren, Abraham, when he went out not knowing where he was going, was looking not for an earthly city, but a heavenly city, a heavenly Jerusalem, whose architect and builder is not man. Because everything man builds will be shaken. There's no security in that, right? There's no security in Washington, D.C. There's no security in Virginia. There's no security in Richmond. There's no security. But there is security in the city of God. And that's why he dwelt in tents, because he was not looking for an earthly city, but this inheritance. He was looking for the city of God. Now, we're here in chapter 11. Look down at verse 13. All these died in faith. All these who? Well, people like Noah, people like Abraham, people like Enoch, people like Abel. That's pretty far back, isn't it? They all died in faith, not without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Pause. Why did Abraham live in a tent? Because he was looking for the city of God, right? Well, they were counted themselves strangers and exiles on the earth, verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear they were seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they'd been thinking of a country from whence they came out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a what? Heavenly one. Everybody see that? A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a what for them? A city. That means he prepared a city for Abel. Amen? He prepared a city for Enoch. He prepared a city for Noah. He prepared a city for Abraham. He's prepared a city for Daniel. He prepared a city for you and for me. And it's heavenly. It's secure. Amen? And that's where our security is in. Look in Hebrews 12. Look at down at verse 22, he makes a contrast between the earthly mountain at Sinai to the heavenly. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. Oh, you mean the mountain upon which the earthly Jerusalem? No, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of who? The living God, the what Jerusalem? Heavenly. Everybody see that? The heavenly Jerusalem. And he's not saying Abraham and those Old Testament saints. He said, you have come to that city. That's believers, amen? That's New Testament believers. You have come to that city. And to millions of angels and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Brethren, you are actually a citizen. Right now, you are a citizen of this heavenly Jerusalem. And who's there? God's there. Who's there? Heavenly dwelling places. Who's there? There's a river that makes glad the people of God. What else is there? Well, you're going to find out the tree of life is there, right? The water of life is there. Christ's throne is there. It's a heavenly Jerusalem, and this city cannot be reached by wicked people. It cannot be reached by the armies of men. This city is secure. It is as high as Mount Zion in heaven. That's high. And folks, what's going to happen, he warns us in verse 25, you better hear the word that comes to us from heaven. Because in verse 26, his voice shook the earth then. At Mount Sinai, there were thunderings, there was lightnings, there was earthquakes, right? But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also what? Folks, this virus is just a shaking. It's just a warning over the bow. It's just a birth pain of what's coming. Can you imagine the whole earth tottering? Can you imagine the whole earth tottering and the whole universe shaking? Because that day is coming. And he says, verse 27, this expression that he just quoted, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, like created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what did we just learn that cannot be shaken? Well, the city of God, right? Verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, we don't have to fear. Look at verse 28. We could show what? Gratitude. Everybody see that? This is Psalm 46 in action. And folks, the city is secure. The kingdom is secure. The inhabitants are secure. Even if the whole universe, every planet, every star, every meteorite, every piece of earth shook, we will not be shaken. You believe that? That's our security while we're here. Because in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, for here on earth, we do not have a lasting city. Everybody see that? We do not have a lasting city. We can count ourselves strangers and pilgrims just like Abraham. We do not have a lasting city. Why? We are seeking the city which is to what? Come. And brethren, that's the background of Psalm 46. And what I love, I'm just going to conclude here. You can read about this city in Revelation 21 and 22. And yes, there's a river there. But I want to conclude by reading Psalm 37, verse 31. It says, concerning the righteous, the law, now listen, the law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. Did you hear that? The law of God is in his heart, therefore what? His steps do not slip. The word slip there means to stagger. It means to be shook. Or as one translator translated, The teaching of his God is in his heart. His steps will not be shaky. Folks, the more God's word is in us, the more security we know. It is through his word that the security of that heavenly Jerusalem arrives in our soul. Troubles do come, but at the end of the day, righteousness will never be shook. And folks, anything that is of God will abide forever. Are you of God? Has the righteousness of God been imputed on your account through the gospel of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? If that heavenly work has gone on in you, then you are a heavenly city of a heavenly Jerusalem. And the more his word is inside of you, the more security, the more refuge you're going to know in our God. God is our refuge and help in time of trouble. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your words. Lord, I know that there will be some who are listening to this that really have a lot of fears about their lives. And they are believing people. I pray that you would minister, that you would make this work of God very real in their soul. We pray for the church of Jesus Christ, that the word would prosper and dwell in the church richly, so that we would not be shaken along with the world. I pray for the people of God, that the word of God would be richly in them, that they would not be shaken. And I pray for the lost. I pray that a work of God would happen in their heart so that they would have the confident expectation of the security of this city of which your people are seeking. A city not yet here. A city that is in the future. But it is a city of God. And and the people of God are the citizens thereof. Thank you for this. Lord, give to us a good prayer time in our homes. We pray this in Jesus' name.